The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of
No Need for Apologies.
I'm Monroe Martin.
And I'm Derek Gaines.
And we got another episode for y'all. I'm about to say for your stinking ass. I was trying to switch it up.
We got another episode for Monroe Can't Talk Asses. All right.
I can't talk. I can't. We got Jackie Fabulous up in this bitch.
What did you do, guys? I showered. I put on makeup and perfume and jewelry. I'm in love with you guys.
You did that. You did way too much.
What?
I said you did way too much. Look, I stink. My underarms are a little funky.
I need for both of you just to appreciate it. I don't care what you guys are doing, but appreciate what I've done.
It's nice. You did good. Your teeth are white. It's nice. Right?
Are you smelling? I put on perfume for no reason. See?
I smell that. What's that? What is it? What you got on?
What is it? It is, I forget. What is it? I don't remember.
Are you asking somebody? Oh, did you ask somebody? Like they sprayed you.
No, something Sarah Jessica Parker used to wear. I forget the name. One of her perfumes from back in the day.
All right. No, I just didn't get in the shower yet. I woke up this morning and I jumped right into work. And that was it.
Aren't you dedicated / nasty?
Yeah. Mostly nasty than dedicated. Any excuse to not shower. Any excuse.
I'm dressed. Any excuse to shower. Get all that. I got jojoba oil in my hair, my beard.
See?
I'm feeling good.
I got natural oils in my shoe too. We're ready to go.
Look, y'all go ahead and do that. I'm gonna do that tonight. I'm gonna take about a 30-minute shower.
There you go.
And I'm gonna do all the scrubbing. I got two types. I got a loofah type thing. And then so I'm going to get it in.
You got an exfoliator.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, you got to exfoliate. Got to get that dirt out. You got to get yesterday's dirt out your pores.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Don't get it wrong. I'm not better than you guys. I have gone 2 days and been like.
We didn't say you were better than us. I'm just fine, man.
I'm not better than Monroe. I know what it's like to not shower, so don't get it wrong.
Yeah, like, look, it ain't on purpose. It's just what Lil Wayne said. I'm overly dedicated right now. That's it. I'm overly dedicated. I wanted to show the place. I don't know why I still have
there
that.
There you go, boy.
There we go. Show what we doing. All right, y'all. So y'all have seen Jackie Fabulous on this past year of, what is that, America's Got Talent?
America's Got Talent, Nick.
Yeah,
America's
a few
Got Talent.
Ago, it feels like I did it in 1997.
I feel like success always feels long ago, right?
No, because of what's going on. It wasn't even a year ago. It wasn't a year ago. And look how everything has changed in a year. I don't even understand. I look back online. I wasn't in a while ago. They're like, no, bitch, you were just here.
I remember, I follow you online and shit, and I'm seeing your stuff, and I'm like, you were just on tour off of the America's Got Talent, like, heavy on tour. We were teasing you about you not bringing male openers on the road with you.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. That was a fun time.
Yeah, that was a great time.
That was your night. Y'all had a good time with me. I appreciated it.
Yeah, man, but that's your crowning. You see that? That's your hazing. You fucking with the cousins. When the cousins snap on it, I mean, we love you, see?
Yeah.
So yeah.
And the one who doesn't cry and comes back.
He was good. You laughed, you bailed on us. But you know, we were snapping.
It was 3:00 in the morning. I was like, look, I love what y'all are doing, but I have another day to start tomorrow.
All night long.
You said you had a flight. So we were like, all right.
I was like, look, I love this, but y'all ain't fucking my mom money with this haze.
I hear that.
All right, I did my first Zoom thing. My first Zoom thing.
I take all the credit. It's all me. I take 110%.
Yeah, you do. I'm giving you the percent. I'm trying to do it. I was in the middle of giving you your credit. I did Jordan Rock's thing, and I didn't want to do anybody's Zoom show just because I'm like, I don't want to be sitting in front of my computer doing the material I wrote. But the way Jordan did it made it so much easier because he made it like a conversation. Like, even though you were spotlight, you could just talk and then people can chime in and other comments can chime in. So it made it like a conversation. And I was like, oh, if all of them are like that, I will definitely have fun doing those. And then Jackie was like, you should do them all. And now I'm doing hers.
I'm doing one Wednesday. I'm doing Wednesday.
Yeah. I have had so many debates on my Facebook page with comedians. All I did was post. So who here doesn't want to do a Zoom show? And every comedian I know was like, I don't feel comfortable. Why are they changing the format of the history of stand-up? And I was like, oh, you guys are a bunch of pussies. Yeah. Everyone was like, I don't want, because comedians are snobs. We're like, look,
it's absolutely craft.
And I don't want to fuck with the craft. And this might change the medium for the future. And I'm like, bitch, you are at home pulling lint out of your asshole. You ain't doing nothing.
Why they got lint in their asshole?
I don't look. Can I just have that?
Cheap sheets. Cheap comforters. Stop sleeping naked with cheap fucking comforters. That's why you got lint in your ass. But anyway, keep going, Jay
Pepper. I'm like, maybe the only reason to do it is to feed the beast. Yeah. What if that's the only reason you do it? Because you are a performer. You're talking to your family. And it's fun. Because you in the shower cracking Joe's going through things in your head anyway. So just put a camera up. What's the difference?
Yeah.
You know, and I did one. You know, y'all know Tahir Moore, right?
I know Tahir.
Yeah. I know of him.
He had a thing. Oh, my God. He had a thing a few weeks ago on Zoom, but it went live on his YouTube page.
Yeah.
And it started off with just me and him. Next thing you know, he had messaged comics he knew I did. So there was probably damn near 11 of us, if not 15, on the Zooms. They're all comedians. And we were, it wasn't a show, but it was a free, but you know, if you hear something funny that you said, you remember, you write it down.
Yeah.
And I got so many followers.
Yeah.
I forgot it was on his YouTube. And he has a following. And the next day, everyone's like, you were so funny. I've heard of you. And all this, the follow button on my Instagram went crazy. I was like, what? I forgot that people are watching us brainstorm funny crap online. And to us, we're like, this is not real. But to people who are watching, our audiences don't know that we're not giving our best.
Yeah.
They think that we are giving them what we get paid for every time we speak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
You know? So that's the reason why if you have a chance to be online and you are a pro entertainer, you can get new stuff from this. Tahir would ask a question and I'd give my funny response. I would try to be funny. And I remember if it worked, I'd write it down. Now it's going to be in a set. Because in my mind, where I am now, if it comes out funny and anyone laughs, my mind remembers it and I text it to myself and you're going to hear it on stage at the Cellar at some point.
Yeah.
And that's the way every conversation is with me. I listen to everything I say, what's said back, and if it works, it's a joke. Isn't that the job? I thought that was the job. Is it just me?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't think
Derek did it. Derek did it before me. Derek did it, like, immediately. He did it live from the garage, and he had fun.
It's fun.
He was having fun. He was rocking out. He did it on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm like, so now I'm looking into Zoom and all that to do a little like donation ticket price thing. It's all possible, bro. You was right. I looked into it. You just got to make an Eventbrite page and then put a link to your bio.
Ask your mom. Your mom will help you out with it because she's tech savvy. That wasn't a diss, Jackie. That's really, his mom is really tech savvy.
I'm tech dumb. Jackie, I'm tech dumb, so I'm not the greatest tech dude. Like, all my friends help me out with stuff.
You're millennial tech dumb?
I'm millennial tech dumb.
unless it's about titties and sneakers, he cannot find that shit. Derek will not find
that shit. I know database is full of titties, though. Like, yeah. I can hack in the mainframes and get some titties.
That's one of the advantages of making money. You can pay someone to do all that shit for you.
I can scramble. I can listen to scrambled systems. And oh, that's the Transformers. They're trying to get into the database mainframe. Like, when it comes down to titties and sneaks, if it's titties, sneaks, and strains of weed, I'm your man. Yeah. Go to Leafly. Break into the Leafly database, Monroe. And then you can find out if it was a Sativa hybrid or an Indica compound.
You can get paid too. I did a Zoom. A girl, she was a host of one of my shows in some club somewhere.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I book shows. And now, you know, at the time, it kind of like everybody does, whatever. Yeah. But when this thing hit, she's like, no, for real. And I did her Zoom show. She paid me $400. And she had a page. You know how you can scroll, see who's watching?
Yeah.
It was in Michigan. And she had people in Michigan by the hundreds were watching on the, and she charged them all a ticket price. Mm. So that's how you can make money, is if you get people to promote it, and you get an audience. That's, you know, you do one show a night or one show a week. And I haven't done it yet, but I've been on many, and I've gotten paid every show.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm like, it's all a job. You just gotta not have this attitude like, but stand-up is such a sacred art form. Oh, please.
I got two more free ones left in me. That's my rule. Like, maybe one more free one's left in me. No, I'm at like my threshold. Like, after that, I'm like, all right, I got my practice in. I know what to do.
Yeah, like, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
If it's a really good friend, I don't care about the money. But if it's somebody that we're not cool like that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get me without money. I don't care if it is Zoom and the world is ending and ain't nobody watching.
Yep. You're like, man, I still got rent to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been put out an hour and 20 minutes of free material. So I need to make that back.
Yeah.
I done did 3 Saturdays of free shit, like 30 minutes of Saturday.
Wait, you did 3?
No. Yeah. You got to get 3.
I did one in the garage, then one in the lab. Well, 2 in the lab and then 1 downstairs. That's 4 shows. I've done 4 Saturdays.
If they're not paying you for longer than 10 minutes, no.
Yeah.
I'll fuck around for 10 minutes. If that, after that, I need cash.
Yeah. Okay. Same.
Damn right.
It's still my goddamn job.
Yeah. So, I met you in L.A. I met you in L.A. during the MTV thing that they basically took from Comedy Central, which on a Little Rel was hosted. That was my first time meeting with you. You were cool as shit. It was me, Derek, Chloe, and who else? Because you were there, right, Derek?
Yeah, Zaynab was there.
Yeah, it was me, you, Zaynab, Chloe, and I met you for the first time. I think Derek knew you before me.
I know Jackie since 2004.
Yeah.
Me and Derek go way the fuck back.
Yeah.
Bill Bellamy, Who Got Jokes days. We had to snap on each other on one of the competition nights. It was pretty wild.
But here's the thing. We were so already in love, we didn't bother with the snapping.
Yeah, I was like, yo, you cool. And then they put us head to head and broke the pool stick, and we wound up just scratching each other's back.
Really?
He's like, you fun. No, you fun.
He did. Your mom is jokes. They were the cutest jokes.
That's so fucking funny.
And they were like, and the judges were like, are y'all friends? They're like, no, we just met. We just don't feel like that. I don't feel the vibe. I don't want to insult him.
I don't want to snap her mom. Like that, I don't know a mom like that.
I'm like, he's such a nice guy. Why you only talk about his mama like that? You know?
It was wild.
Because they think
head to head in Vegas.
They think that's what stand-up, but they think that's what comedy is. They're like, to me, sometimes that shit is degrading because it feels like they're going, go ahead, clowns, clown off. And it's like, hey, like,
it's
relax,
a clown fight. Put the clowns to a fight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, like, it ain't like that. No. I don't like shit like that.
You know what? I didn't like that about Last Comic Standing.
I didn't like that whole, I'm better than, I'm like, I don't care.
Whenever they get you backstage in the interview for any kind of contest on TV or online, they always want to ask you questions to be like, so, who do you think? And I was like, and I never fall for, I'm like, you ain't going to get me to talk shit about nobody. I came here for me. If you don't
want
me, then I'm going to.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, I ain't bringing nobody down. I didn't come here to put anybody down. I came here to get my shine and get the fuck out of here.
Absolutely. Get this shit. You are instantly cool.
Keep it moving.
When I first met you, you were instantly cool. I was like, she cool as fuck. I was like, Jackie is cold as ice.
You're cool. I am fantastic. Yeah. But I could be mad at you, though, because I found out about you on Last Comic Standing. I followed you immediately on social media. Uh-huh. And you, when I we had our first conversation at the Cellar, and you were like, uh-huh. aren't you? And I was like, nigga, I have been following you. I have been a fan since that goddamn contest.
Look, I'm a, look.
And you were like, I don't be online like that. I don't
be paying attention to who follow me and other, to, because my problem with social media is I feel like I let that be a part of my, I can't let that be a part of my life for real, for real. I'm like, you texted me, like us texting, because you got a number. That means more to me than a follow as a friend. So to me, yeah. I'm like, if you DM me, and then like when you DM me, I'm like, oh, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, cool. That I like personal relationships. I can't take. I'm a former foster kid. Like,
that's
I can't
right,
get,
boy.
I don't
that's
allow
right.
myself
Tell
to get attached to shit. So and, I'm like, look.
And I remember
text
your
me, DM me.
I remember your foster care jokes from Last Comic. That's how much of a fan I was. And you don't Thank give you. A fuck about your fans, clearly.
No, I do give a fuck about my fans, but it's like the worst thing that can happen is I have people, and you still do, I have people walk up and they're like, what up, Monroe? And I turn around thinking I know them. And I'm like, oh, hey, what up? Like,
I used
hi.
To be in denial, then, you're a public figure.
But they'll be like, we're friends on Facebook. Nigga, we not friends.
Yeah. Not real ones. Not real ones.
Yeah. It's like, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I respect my fans. I love my fan, but you're not a fan. You're a coworker.
No.
I respect that.
That's the thing about me that I like about myself is that I'm a fan of comedians first.
I'm a fan, but I won't call myself a fan. I appreciate my coworker. I have heavy appreciation.
I feel the same way. I have appreciation. But if I don't think you're funny, I don't use the word fan.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. Know
what I mean? So if I say fan, I'm like, hey, nigga, I like what you do. I see what you do. I appreciate it. I can relate. You figured out this job. That's all the job is, to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, way to figure it out is me calling a coworker fan. Way to figure it out, bro.
Way to figure it out. Girl. Because I was downstairs watching. I watched Seinfeld's special on Netflix because I just came across one of his bits and I wanted to see the whole special. Yeah. And I'm not a huge fan, but I'm a fan because he knows what he's doing. Like I watched the hour, so much material, memorization, just intricate, detailed jokes.
Mm-hmm. All right, I gotta watch now.
And that in and of itself, I'm like, damn, he's 65 years old.
Wait, he got new jokes on these things?
You got a new one out. You got a new special out.
A new one just came out.
And they're new jokes.
Yes. What's wrong with you? I feel shaded.
No, because I seen them live and the jokes weren't new. So that's why I'm asking if there were new jokes.
The topics he's touching upon are, some of them have been done to death. But
okay.
impossible. But you can't reinvent the wheel every time you do a special because that's exhausting.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's so popular and has a special out all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't fault him for talking about cell phones again. Everybody talks about, you know, where's my phone? I always have it. He touched on a lot of topics that we've all heard ad nauseum, but you know, he still had an hour of just straight material.
Yeah. You know I like it.
And anyone like that, any comic who does an hour plus and they're just drilling you, I walk away like that, he figured it out. That's the job. Tell me jokes the whole time.
Damn right.
They had maybe once, because he had one woman, he had one lady in the audience laugh a little extra loud. It's only one. Yeah. And his comeback was, ma'am, I need for you to stay with the group. Don't wander off away from the group. And I thought that was so funny. Because it was, you know, he was present in the moment.
Yeah. All right, I'll watch.
A lot of people are just figuring it out. Like, can you figure out what your job is? And I like that.
Yeah, I got you. Well, I apologize. We're friends. We're homies.
We are now.
We got each other's numbers and shit like that.
No need for apologies.
Yeah, fuck that, Jackie. Fuck that shit.
You know what it is. On this show?
I appreciate my fans, but comics aren't fans. I'm like, talk to me like a comic. You cool. You're hilarious.
But we're alone. It's regular guy and girl talk.
Yeah.
You know, but this is also a platform where I want the world to know I'm your fan. That's all.
Thank you. Isn't I that appreciate nice? That shit.
Jackie Fabulous handing out love that this nigga don't want to take. Ain't that crazy?
You know me. You know me for about 12, 13 years, Derek. You know,
that's the beauty of it. We don't do compliments well. All right.
My underarm starts sweating.
I hate when I get off the stage and I did well.
Yeah.
I hate that all the accolades right after you say, I'm like, hey, I finished my job. Everybody back the fuck up. I just wanted to, you want to breathe?
Yeah.
You want to also relish in your head. I did a good job. But when everyone around you is like, I get anxiety.
Yeah. Especially when that all bad Jones. I get it.
Except what? Say it again?
Especially when all bad ladies going, you're so funny. When it's just like regular people, you'd be like, how many hands can I shake tonight before I snap?
That's so fucking funny.
How many hands can I shake tonight before I go off? Because there's no girl that wants to bed me right now. It's just a bunch of endearing, beautiful people that I love, but my anxiety can't, like, all right. Okay.
Everyone, and if it's a Village Underground, packed ass night, and you crush it. Sometimes when you go out, I go outside and I'm like, all right, let's all forget that happened. They're like, no, we want to talk to you about your whole set right now. I'm like, no,
that's crazy.
I can't, I don't want to do that. And I'm not, I appreciate it, but I got to move on to the next thing now.
I don't like the whole, let me talk about your set thing. I like the whole, hey, appreciated you, keep it moving. Cause I talk to people. I will stand there and I will shake every single, because that's the laugh house in my head.
Yeah.
The Laugh House made us do that shit.
We had to do that, Laugh House.
The moment you got past at the Laugh House, they were like, all right, now stand outside the door and shake everybody's hand. Thank you.
It was an etiquette thing. Like Mona taught us to be gentlemen.
Yeah.
Put this book on your hands after you're done.
I do that.
Now, you talk to those fans that came and paid $15 and ate shitty chicken tenders for your punk ass. You'd be like, thank you for coming out
for the shitty tenders. Thank you for coming. Oh my God, man.
I was like, what's that on his head? I get that when they came out to see you. I understand. Yeah,
even when they don't come out to see you. This was like guest spot. Even if you did a guest spot, she's like, shake those fucking hands because you didn't have to be on that stage and there's this whole appreciation shit. So it's burnt in my head. Like, I do it all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, fucking people's hands be stinking and wet and shit.
Oh, I get it. I think I get most of that sloppy kissing and hugging stuff from women. Women for me, they don't have any boundaries.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. Women are the ones that are just like,
Women don't have any boundaries. White women.
I love people, but white women, they think I'm a chocolate cabbage patch doll come to life.
Yo. It's crazy.
And I'm like, hey, Samantha, what the fuck? You finger me out here? Thank God. I'm glad you had fun.
If you let them, they would. They're like, oh my God, thank you.
They would.
You're so funny. Awesome.
They would, though. They hug you on, they hold on too tight. I was like, what's going on? Is the whole world gay now?
I had my butt squeezed. You get the
but I've
whole,
noticed even back then.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Like even back high, like white women are extra sensual. Like when they dance, look like they're taking a shower. Yeah. Like it's just a lot of right. So it just I get it. So yeah. So
leather girl.
I've done shows in states where I have said this in jest. Like, am I the first black girl y'all have seen up close?
And they're like, yes.
And a lot of them, you can see their eyes kind of get shocked. Like, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's crazy, so bro.
After the show, they get so close because they're like, I may never see one of y'all again.
Wow. Like, where are your glasses from?
Yeah, look at your poor. Are those your lips? It's just.
I opened for Lenny Marcus. This was like 2013. I love Lenny. I opened for Lenny Marcus, and right after the show, some white lady, it was a bunch of white ladies, but the main white lady with the most confidence came up.
Spokesman.
Gave me the biggest hug ever, smelled the nape of my neck, like grabbed me and was like, ooh, you smell so good for a black guy. And Lenny No. Lenny was like, what does that mean? And I went, I don't know. He was like, no. She needs to tell us. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't know. And she walked off. You smell so good for a black guy.
What did you smell like? Pork rinds?
Are you right?
Yeah, what should you smell like?
I just smell like hard work and high sodium, right?
Yeah, man. Like you've been sweating on a field all day.
Uh-huh.
Like, what?
She was like, oh my God, you have your best Dickie shirt on? Look at you, so handsome. She didn't say that, but I'm just asking.
Remember Chris Rock joke? Chris Rock, you speak so well.
Yeah.
That's what I get a lot. They go, you're so well spoken.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the? But that's all racism and ignorance. Then they don't. Not around black people. They don't know what it's like to be around somebody who don't sound like the country as blacks in their neighborhood or in their
I'll do you one. I'm in Canada. I did some joke where I said, bitch, nigga, like that. Some white dude came up to me after and was like, nigger, bitch, right? And I was like, so everybody, we almost jumping. The host, the manager of me almost chased them out into Vancouver. He was like, nigger, bitch, right? And I was like, no, you racist. It was bad. He was like, I've messed up. I'm sorry. I messed up. And you start running down the steps.
I was running for his life.
Yeah, because the host was Canada. A hockey player. And he started hockeying up. Like, what did you say to our prestigious headliner? It was so, because you know, everybody in Canada is polite. So when they all heard this, they was like, oh, this can't be right. So, yeah, they chased him out. It was pretty wild.
That's so fucking funny.
Yeah. In Vancouver, I got called Nick. So I'm
What's the weirdest shit that ever happened to you in the road, Jackie, that you're allowed to talk about?
That you're allowed to talk about.
I honestly don't have any horror stories. For the first time ever, I picked up a guy.
Okay.
And I like, what you mean? You were like, yo, what's up, y'all? I like that.
Because usually on the road, I have the whole female rules, like, do your set, go back to the hotel, have somebody escort you if possible, because I'm not going off with any fans, audience member, I'm not trying to be in the paper the next day. You know, murdered.
I thought you meant like as a victim or a predator.
Victim.
This
being a girl, people want, like, you want to come to our house? People invite me to their homes, parties, breakfast. They want a piece of me. And I'm like, I'm not living with any stranger.
Mm-hmm.
But this show, they had a security guy drive me to and from the hotel to the venue.
Yeah.
And he was very attractive. And I could tell, you know, you got the vibes.
Yeah.
So when my weekend was over, I was like, hey, you want to come up? And you know, if you're aware, you know what that means.
Yeah.
And it was so bad.
What do you mean? Like he was nervous? So what sex, do you mean bad?
Sex was so bad.
What made it bad?
Because he was nervous.
Did you give him a second round? Like, you got to let him get the first round out.
The whole time during the act, he's like, please, let me just come back tomorrow. And let me just show you.
Yeah, niggas do that.
I know what I'm doing. And I was like, I was like, I'm not, first of all, I'm leaving this state in the morning, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I didn't emasculate. I didn't tell him it was bad. I don't emasculate men, because that could scar a nigga for life.
Yeah.
So I just said, no, I get it. You're nervous. But I'm like, I could have went to bed. I could have done a multitude of things that would have been more worth my time.
I could have worked on my website. That's so much shit I could have done, yo. What the fuck?
I was like, I step out of my comfort zone to have a one-night stand with someone that is hired to take care of me. Very sexy scenario for most to think of that. Be like, oh, girl, you better go. And I was like, no. I'm like, I got pulled into his cute face, and he was way younger than me. I mean, like, could have been my son.
Damn.
And I was like, this is going to be amazing. He's young. He excited. And he was just young and freaked out.
But you should have given him a second chance. A wolf.
Yeah,
a
wolf.
You know what I did instead? No, it wasn't the next day I was leaving. I was leaving that Monday morning. But the next day, I called a guy who I knew was out there for the holidays. Because he lives in L.A., but he was in that town to see his family.
You broke that glass. He was like,
I was like, hey.
Get the mallet.
He was going to come over the night before, but I was like, nah, I'm going to try in my head. I'm going to holler at this guy
from
okay.
So I'm going to break him some.
Yeah.
And that was so bad. I called him the next day like, hey, you still want to come by?
That's so
why you want to see
bro, me do me a favor, talk about that second round for me, because that second round is important for a lot of
yeah,
people.
So that's what I'm saying. You gotta like that's what I'm asking you. I'm like, did you let him get that second round
in? Lost interest. I lost and I didn't want
sometimes you gotta sometimes to in order to see the person's moves, it's like you watch boxing, right, Jackie? Some boxers are straight out the gate and they kill, but some boxers dominate the second round until the rest of the match.
Yeah.
You so sometimes you gotta be like, yo, was it endurance? Did he not take enough punches? Did he not throw enough jabs? Like, let him figure out what went wrong during that match. Because maybe that's he's right, like, boy. Yeah, like maybe he's just
the excitability of the spontaneous moment was over.
Yeah,
it's over.
We're but in you the ain't moment. Never have sex just because you ain't never been like, all right,
yeah, let's plenty try of times.
So well, why couldn't you do it in this situation? Like, all right, look, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to get something to eat. I'm going to let you recoup.
No, I had, because I lost all desire.
Damn.
Like, all together?
All of it. You know how, right. You know who
it
you
was
know.
Bad then. It was,
it was bad.
It wasn't horrible. He just couldn't compose himself enough to make it go anywhere. He was just so in his head. And when he would get a good literal stroke going, he would get in his head again, and he'd be like, "I'm sorry." And then of course I'm like, "Look, I'm not gonna have this one night stand fucking my self esteem."
Yeah.
You know, so that's also part of it where you're like, "Well, is it me?" So then that's another reason why I called a guy who I knew was crazy about me to get. Yeah.
He was crazy about you, but he also probably was like, "You don't know. I will disrespect this shit. Like that's what you want."
Yeah.
Yeah. But the young dude respected you too much. The young dude was like, "Oh my God, like you're on stage, you're Jackie Fabulous." But you should have grabbed him by his neck and was like, "I ain't your mama, motherfucker."
Yeah, and you know, it's a problem when he calls me by my first and last name. That's too much respect.
Miss Jackie Fabulous.
I'm like, we are in a hotel room in the middle of nowhere. Just say Jackie. I don't need the last part.
Yeah,
that's how you know that he's like, "Ma'am, Miss Jackie." I'm like, "Hey, dude."
I got a little like, I wouldn't be intimidated at the point of nakedness, but I've been intimidated before when I talked to a girl with status. Like, I remember I was on a plane with Cash Doll once. We talked, but I should have asked for Cash Doll number at the end of it, and I didn't. I got her Instagram, but I should have been like, "Hey, yo, Cash, we should talk. Let me get that phone number, girl." But I was just like, in awe. I'm like, this chick is like. She's like one of the rappers. Like, this chick is in talking to me on first class. Like, I'm just enjoying the moment. So I just tried to play it so cool. I played it so cool that I cooled myself out of actually having the digits of Cash Doll. Like, I could have had her on the show, bro.
That happens a lot where I've had guy friends tell me they've met a woman that they with status on while they travel.
Yeah.
They're so caught up and it's her.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
And she's flirting, but he's like, "No." And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "No."
She was having, having, somebody made a diss track about her, and she started pouring out to me like, "I covered all my bases. That chick was a whore. I knew I ain't do nothing wrong." And like, we having this whole, I'm like, "This is wild." I'm like, "Yeah." And I was trying to give her my suburban, never been, had a diss track made about me advice. So it's just like, I kind of knew what I was doing, but I didn't. But I was like, "Oh, Cash is pretty, man. Like, her teeth are bad." Like, I was just into her smile. I was like, "Yo, she all right. She like a hood bad. She like a hood princess."
And she was single?
What'd you say?
Was she single?
She kept bringing up somebody she was hanging out with, but I didn't really care. So in my head, I was like, she may be single. I don't know. But, you know, it was obviously people hitting her up when she got out the airport because everybody was hitting her up. I took a picture of her and everything.
All you had to do was get her cell phone number. That's all you had to do.
That's all I do. Just get a phone. That's all I didn't do.
I felt so bad. It takes time.
I was mad at myself. I was like,
y'all can't keep talking at the same time. Y'all like,
sorry. I was like, "Wait, what?" Go ahead, Jackie. I'm sorry.
I said, "We don't have time. Have we you don't. Not seen what's happening right now in the world? Don't nobody have time. Do that shit now."
Yeah, do that now.
Yeah, man. Tomorrow ain't promised.
Tomorrow is
what
not.
What you waiting for? Promised. Pussy.
Exactly.
Pussy.
We don't have time.
What you waiting for? Pussy. Look, to start picking this shit.
You know what I wish I, the time that I, what I, this is not that topic, but there's a big difference that I've noticed with the LA comic scene and New York comic scene. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of comics in New York who are couples.
Married,
and they don't hide it. They're all on social media. They're proud of it. In LA, it was the biggest taboo thing to be fucking with a comic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I should have been in New York the whole time because I could have had a comic baby by now. In LA, they're just like, they don't want nobody to know.
It's funny you say that because I was hanging out with a comedian one time, and nigga, I swear to God, she was like, can you drop me off down the street from the store and you go try to find a parking spot because they can't see us walking in together. Yes. I was like,
so why is LA like that though?
I know, because LA in the dating world, LA, for some reason, LA does not want to be known as a place for love.
Okay. It's a place for hustle and work. Yeah, like, LA, you come LA, out here, you
know,
work.
Who do you know? How can you help me? What are you working on? If you want to be fuck buddies, we can, but once again, I was fuck buddies with a comic in California for 10 years.
10 years?
Not, 10 not
years. That's,
not that's a decade.
That's just a bad relationship. 10 years?
Not every week.
For 10 years?
And a good friend of mine, but we had a little understanding. So and mind you, he had his girlfriends, I had my boyfriends.
Oh,
you
know, okay. All right.
You got niggas.
He was
I got bitches.
He was a colleague, a good friend, and a fuck buddy. Okay. But after years of it, after a while, I was like, what? Why are we hiding this again?
Mm.
Because you're not married, I'm not married. And he was just like, mm-mm. The better I got in my job and the more established I got in this business, I'm like, nigga, you'd look good if the world knew you were fucking me.
Yeah.
Why my ego kicked in? After a while, my ego's like, you'd be lucky if the whole world knew you were inside of me on a regular basis.
or semi-regular.
Right? You know, every 2-3 weeks around there.
Semi-regular thing. So yeah, I've done the semi-regulars. Yeah.
And he couldn't get his head around the whole, I don't understand why it's a secret. So LA is not known for, we are doing this, bunk what they say.
Yeah.
We live together. We live down the block from the cellar. We have a baby. We just got a dog. I mean, every comics in New York couple up and they're like, this is what it is. Because New York is very
because the rent, it's the rent and the weather. It's that's so funny. It'd be love. It'd be just survival, like bro used to talk about.
Yeah. So. No, I don't know. I just feel like in New York, people have a little bit more like reality where they're like, I can do this. This is my life, but I also want something outside of stand up. And if I can be with somebody who also understands that and has that same thought process, then we're fine.
You have because you feel like the job is so, you know, it is a hard job.
Yeah.
It's so hard. If you found someone who's like, you're right, it is hard.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, we're in love now. We understand what this is about. Yep.
We in love now.
And it's not a competition. Yeah. And it's not a competition where I feel like, I don't know many LA comics, but I feel like in LA looks like that place that's like, if I'm dating you and we're public, it's because we're trying to get something.
Yeah. And I know.
Because we're trying to level up. Yeah.
And there are comedians in LA that I was involved with, and I could tell that we would never be a couple because they were too worried about, yo, how'd you book that?
Yeah.
Oh,
that?
Shit.
How'd you get that? And I was, and then once I got over the infatuation, I'm like, we wouldn't have worked out anyway because he can't. I could watch him grow and book everything, but he would be like, no, no, no. His self esteem was so fragile.
Yeah.
That he would, because LA is a home place of a lot of fragile people. Myself. Okay. But I got so tired of feeling fragile and please want me, please love me. That's partly a part of why I moved.
Okay.
Where in New York, it's kind of like, look, this is what I do. This is me. I'm going to tell you the joke about my abortion. You're either going to like it or you're not. Yeah. Where in LA, you get censored a lot in LA because my club in LA was, it still is. One of the clubs I always frequented they would tell me every now and then, hey, Jackie, you kind of, a lot of F-bombs. You might want to pull it back. And that happens.
Wow.
In L.A., there's every showcase. In L.A., there's always an audition or a showcase where they tell you, so-and-so's in the room. So you always got to scale down your big personality, in my opinion, for the Hollywood Club, because they're always like, so-and-so's coming to see you. Or, you know, as a family be here, or an organization. We're in New York. The freedom in New York that I have felt on stage to talk about whatever the fuck, it's made me cry during my set. Like, I couldn't talk about this shit in Los Angeles. Because I would get pulled aside like, hey, Jackie, that was, you know, can you kind of tone it down? So-and-so's going up after you and he wants to, you know, he doesn't want to compete with you. It's a lot of ego. Because Hollywood, because L.A. is home.
Yeah.
It's Hollywood first and then the craft. Where New York is, the craft comes first. And if you happen to book something else, good for you.
Wow. You can write a pamphlet. That was dope.
Yeah, that's what I
like that breakdown.
I spent 20 years in California just muddling through.
Yeah, so what brought you out there? Because you spent 20 years. You've been doing stand-up for 20 or?
I had stand-up for 15 years. I moved out there just because I was tired of New York. It was 2000 and... I was in the corporate world. It wasn't entertainment. It wasn't a comedy.
It was 2000. Dad, you went to L.A. Wow.
Yeah,
I was 15.
Yeah.
Nine in the 2000. Girl, you're working with some bad shit.
I was just bored. I had all the good paying 9-to-5 jobs, but that was just every job I had. Somebody in a regular world would be like, well, girl, that job is great. Just ride it out. And every job I had, I'm like, I'm so bored. I'm so sad. I'm sad and I'm bored.
Yeah. What job did you have?
Law firm. I was a paralegal.
Oh.
Corporate America. I was always corporate girl. I was the cardigan with the pearls. I was, you know, a clean cut corporate chick. But I was always a funny girl at work because I hated every job was boring to me. Because
jobs are boring.
Because most people are not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most people are like, look, I got to keep my bills paid. I'm trying to get a promotion. I'm getting my review soon. I'm going to get married. All the things that should be happy events in New York, people get very bogged down because it becomes a goal that if they don't meet it, they're miserable.
Yeah.
People, I had girlfriends at my jobs. They'd get engaged. Instead of being happy, they'd be like, oh, well, now I got to have this big-ass wedding. And like the ring got to be big and the wedding got to be in the country. I was like, what the fuck? Everything became everything was expensive and stressful.
Got to be in the country. Why we got to be in a barnyard for you
And when I moved to LA, I still had a corporate job, but I tried stand up for fun after work. And then I started to enjoy my life. I didn't enjoy my life until I tried stand up because I was bored at the job.
Yeah.
Because I have energy. I would be at work from 9-to-5. You get to work at 9, job be over at 4 or 5, and I'm still wired.
Yeah.
The day's over. I can, and that's why I was able to do stand up for so long and do a full night of shows because I can go 14, 16 hours and go to bed after that.
Yeah.
People get worn out after 8 hours. I was like, there's a whole day left.
Yeah.
And so Daryl, you can shoot a TV show all day, and if you have the energy.
Oh, yeah, I'm going on stage at night. Yeah. There's still 16 hours left. Like, there's still 16 hours left. Like, y'all can go to sleep.
For you, there's 2 days in every day.
Yeah, yeah. You still see what I can do in 16 hours? Like, as a comic? Yeah. It's good stuff,
So you don't know that until you get into that life. You're like, I prefer this. You don't want to sleep? I don't need 8 hours or 10 hours. I can go on 6 or 5 or 4.
Yeah,
yeah, 4.
You can do 4 hours. If you're happy, you can do 4.
I used to go off 4 hours when I used to clean bathrooms and then go to the gym and then drive into the city, wait around for stuff to start, hang out with these niggas, do the jokes, go to the diner, hang out till 3-4, then go back to the job and sleep in the car. 3-4 hours, that's all I had, and I had to clock right back in to work. I used to do it.
Yeah. And you were happy.
Yeah, because I was doing something different than every union dude at that job.
Yeah.
Like, they was getting dressed in boots and khakis and oiled up shirts that was the outfit for the day. See, I had it on too, but I'm like, I'm changing into whatever I got packed in my trunk because I got to do spots out in Brooklyn tonight. Like, I always had something going on. Like, my life is different from y'all when I clock out at 3:30.
And when I met you, you had that job. You were still working that job.
Yeah, I did.
When I met you, you were still grinding at the day job.
Yeah.
Because when you know you have a purpose that's beyond the day job, you don't get sleepy.
Yeah, you don't. You just don't. You're I slept on the job to get ready for the night.
I'm like, you know how many lunches I go find in my closet? I was asleep today. During the day. Are you going to eat? I'd be like, fuck lunch. I'm going to get this nap in.
Yeah, and get ready for the night.
I would sleep for that hour and then go buy food and then eat. Hey, bitch, that's two plus
hours. That's two breaks. I used to take four breaks a day.
That's so fucking funny.
I used to take four breaks. Nigga, I had a snack break at work.
A snack break.
It's time to take a snack break. I'm gonna go get some chips or something, and go act like I'm working for 30 minutes. Like I used to do all that, bro. Because if you don't want to clean shit, mm-hmm. I used to clean. That's how the name the Great Boy came to play. I told you that, bro. Right?
Yeah.
How Great Boy. I used to tell myself I was great in the mirror that I just cleaned inside of a state trooper's bathroom. It was bad, bro.
Yeah.
I used to go, this ain't the end for you. You great, nigga. Be the great boy, and then it just snapped. And then when Instagram came out, it was the first thing I could think of.
Wow,
He used to go by Ferrari Gaines, Kodiak Bear.
Kodiak Bear
was a dope name. And this is before weed, this is before he used to smoke weed. Yeah. So he called himself Kodiak Bear before weed, nigga.
Yeah, the Kodiak.
It sounds like a chubby stripper.
Kodiak, coming to the stage to the Kodiak Bear.
Yeah. I'm so glad y'all teased me out of that too. I've got teased out of a lot of like Kodiak.
I was like, the Kodiak is cool. When you started the great boy, I was like, when you gonna become the great man?
Girls ask me that too. It's never that. It's gonna be boys for the great boy.
Yeah. Now tell those girls to relax. It's all for fun. We're all having
I used to go on walks in Harlem with girls I was almost in a relationship with. So when you gonna be the great man and stop being a great boy and commit to me? Oh God.
Yeah, if you gotta ask, it's never gonna happen. That was always my rule.
If you gotta ask him what's up, ain't nothing up, bitch.
Ain't nothing up, bitch.
No, baby.
This is up.
This is up. Like, we already up here.
There's no other level.
What are you talking about?
This is an open world video game. Ain't no level.
Ain't no level.
I always tell girls that you gotta ask if you gotta chase a guy and try and get him to commit. He gone.
You is just there for the time. You a pit stop.
You a break.
Fine. You a break. You lunch. Relax. You're a lunch break.
But like a good lunch. A hefty lunch.
A good lunch with avocados and everything. A good lunch.
Yeah, mom packs you some bread, like two pieces of bread in the baggie.
Yeah.
But you got a thermos and a juice. That's good. It's like you a hefty lunch, girl.
From what I learned, though, a lot of those people don't even want to be in relationships. They're just obsessed with what people would think. Right? Because they tell people their business. They're quick. They'll be like, I'm seeing such and such. And then they want to have like a check-in. Because a friend will be like, how's it going? Well, blah, blah, blah. And how's it going is like a terrible question to ask when you just like fucking around.
Yeah.
You're like, well, how's it going? It's like, it's going great. We fucking, like, what else did there need to be?
You know, my girlfriends would get, nothing makes a woman's head spin more when they ask you, so what's up with the men? And I go, there's nobody.
Yeah.
And they hang in there like, and I'm like, there's none. And they're like, I'm like, what about the word none is confusing? They're like, there's nobody, bitch. There is no one. And they don't understand. Like, I'm not giving that answer with any kind of worry. I'm like, there's just nobody.
Yeah. But that's something that's been placed on women that I would make sure if I have a daughter, I would never do that to my daughter, is that you got to have these things by this time, that you got to be in a relationship, you got to have kids. Like, go live your life, go get that thing wet. That's what I say. I say to tell my wife. I would go tell my daughter, I'm like, go get that thing wet. Go, don't tell me about it. Don't catch nothing. Don't be crazy, but enjoy your fucking life and settle down when you're ready to settle down. Because women set that trap for you. They set that trap. They're like, well, if he ain't put a ring on it, he don't respect you. Maybe he does respect you by not putting you in financial debt.
Wow. Preach, nigga. Preach, okay, nigga.
Because he got hit and got shit straight to the altar.
Yes. Like, bear that motherfucker don't want to lie in the eyes of God and your family.
Absolutely. That's too much pressure. Stop.
Yeah. You know what else I hate on this flip turn with that? In L.A., when I say I have a boyfriend, I'm in a relationship right now. Yeah. But if the people in L.A., when I say boyfriend, they're like, ooh, with that voice of kind of like shock. Yeah. I'm like, bitch, I'm attractive and intelligent and successful. But in New York, no one cares. But like, of course you got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So what's the big deal? You should. And if you don't want one, you shouldn't. Whatever you bring to the table, bitch, we good with that.
This is a fucking city.
Welcome to New York. We don't give a shit.
Y'all don't care.
When I first moved here and I would hear comics be like, man, I can't get laid. I'm like, it's New York.
How? It's New York City, bruh.
If you ain't getting ass, that's on you. If you can't find nobody,
That's wild.
My first show back on the East Coast, I got laid that weekend.
That's how it's supposed to be.
I got off the airplane, and when I moved back, I was already in East Coast ass. I was like, what? But in L.A., when I tell you the work I had to go through, I did a joke at the Cellar where I said, I'm looking forward to dating men who don't have any talent.
Yeah.
So the talented men in L.A., they're in their head. They're in their feelings. They're so worried about the business.
Performance.
I went to one guy's house, and he was a comedian, actor, singer, and it took forever to get laid. Because he'd be like, I want to show you my sketch. Can you do my podcast? I wrote a script. I wrote a song. And I'm like, nigga, are we the fuck?
Are we doing it or not?
Oh, I'm not an agent. What is all this shit we doing? I'm the casting director.
I don't give a fuck about your dream.
Exactly. I came over here for that dick.
Hit the runway already, nigga. Ain't nobody worried about this.
Exactly.
Get in the air already. Ain't nobody worried about your runway dreams.
Okay, but in New York, they might have dream, but they'll fuck you first.
Yes.
And then be like, hey, did I ever tell you I wrote this book? Oh, let me hear about the book. I want to hear
about it. They just leave the book on the pillow when they leave in the morning. Like, here's the novel I wrote, just in case. Oh, man.
You can check it out on Audible if you want. I'm on the app. But I got to go. I got some coffee. I was going to come back and bring you one, but then I just had to get
straight. That is like, they will fuck you first and leave the book on the pillow. Like, hey, by the way, check that out.
And leave a review if you can.
New York niggas got merch after the show. After the show.
Yeah.
You just merch after we done it.
We'll try and sell you the merch after the performance is over.
Yeah.
Where in L.A., they're like, hey, before you get on stage, I got this script idea.
What do you mean?
Bathroom, they're like, girl, I love your comedy. Would you do my... Hey. Let me go do what I came here to do.
Damn. See, I ain't missing L.A. then. I'm not... Because at first, I thought I had FOMO, like, I should be there. But now, the more and more y'all talk, I'm like... Nah, I'll wait.
I have to go soon. I have a conference call at 6 with NBC.
Do your shit.
And you know, but here's the thing. When you live in LA, you do that weekly. You do so. Yeah. Derek is going to 1,000. We've all been to many of them.
Meetings? All
the time. Yeah. Meetings. I call it the water bottle tour. That's it. Cause all they had to do is, would you like some water? Would you like some water? Like, none of y'all niggas got snacks. Like, nobody got, like, a burrito or something.
Oh, I've gotten some weird lunches. Some black noodle lunches.
I like black noodle lunches.
Raviolis. Like, that's, like, those meetings. I like them.
I had some cool meetings. Like, my favorite meeting was Ali Leroy. You ever met him?
No.
He created... I know
who he is, though. I know who Ali Leroy is.
He created the Chris Rock. We went to his fly-ass restaurant, and the nigga was just taking pictures of people as we're talking, like, because he's a photographer, too. And he's just, like, taking pictures, like, sorry. Yeah, what do you think about that? And I'm like, this is cool. I'm like, this is fucking... This is better than any other thing I've done.
I've been to so many meetings in L.A., at first, when you first start going, you have the nerves What do I wear? What do I say? The more of them you go to, you start realizing you guys asked me to come in here.
Yeah.
So, yep. Absolutely.
And after a while, after me going to like 10 in a row, I would go to the, when they like, do you want anything? And one time I went to one agency and it was Friday, and Friday was bagel day.
Yeah.
And I saw a cubicle with the whole spread laid out, bagel, every cream cheese. And I was like, you know what? I wouldn't mind a bagel.
Yeah.
And they were like, go get it. I was, and people thought I worked there. Because I was wandering through. And I was like, look, I've been here so many times.
Yeah, I'm Jackie. I almost laid down on Tony Sepulveda's couch at NBC. I almost laid on the couch.
Really? Why didn't you? I made a whole sandwich at Netflix. I swear to God. I swear to God. No fucking, I didn't care. Like, I was feeling myself. They were like, give me, like, we have water and stuff. You can have anything you want. And they had like a whole sandwich spread. And I went, I made like a peanut butter and Nutella sandwich.
I remember one time an assistant went out to get me Starbucks. And I was like, you want anything? I was like, I wouldn't mind a vanilla latte. And she went to go get it outside, like down the block. I'm like, look, at some point, y'all, somebody got to give me a job at some point. So I'm not going
to. But realizing you have that power is very important.
Yeah.
That's what this shit did. This whole quarantine taught me that we have more power than we let on. Because we all doing these podcasts where there's the technology to do what we want. And then that excuse of, well, they ain't fucking with me is out the window now. It's out the door. They ain't fucking with me is obsolete now because you have all the technology and it's just you and your ideas.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can do it yourself. And then they'll be like, hey, we always liked you. I'm like, well, I've been to your office 11 times.
Yep.
So yeah.
If you like me so much, just put me. They don't want to say how easy it is. We don't have to have. I had one woman at the Game Show Network had me come in twice, forgot she had me come in the first time.
That's how I got guy code. I got on guy code that way. I went in for guy code so early, and I was so bad. I was terrible because I didn't know.
My first one was wet. Yeah, my first
guy code was fucking terrible. I did Montreal, and the week after Montreal, they were like, hey, we want to see him and I auditioned. And I didn't, I just talked. And they were like, oh, you're great. Can you start? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I auditioned like 3 years ago. And they're like, really? Oh, well, we don't remember. Maybe it was different people. And I'm like, no, Ryan, it was with you.
You.
It was you. With you.
You still here. It's you.
It was you.
And when you said when they canceled, like if I had a meeting and they canceled it, I'd be crushed years ago.
Yeah.
I had one at LOL with Kevin's company.
Yeah.
And they kept scheduling and they really wanted it to happen. So I think. Yeah. And then when they did have, they're like, oh, Kevin can't be here. I was like, so? What you want to talk about? We don't need Kevin. Kevin is busy, clearly.
Yeah, let that nigga be busy.
Yeah, let him go do his thing. What do you need?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to talk to him.
Yeah.
He's doing Jumanji 3. Like, what can we do until he gets back? I got you.
And then I feel like Kevin would want to see your abs. I feel like he's that type of comic. I need to know you work as hard as me. I'm just saying. Like, his questions aren't about his ideas. Is how early you get up in the morning.
That's hilarious. When the last time you slept? Uh-huh. When you sleeping? You're not real about your business.
You ain't serious about this shit.
How much you lift?
Yeah.
Not about how much you get on stage, but how much you lift, bro.
Did you write a book in your last two shows? No, then you ain't real about this.
Can you do a perfect push-up, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
That'd be a funny sketch. Go meet with Kevin and pretend you are the busiest person in the world.
Yeah. Just come in with a sweatsuit on. Just come in with a Nike sweatsuit. Get ready to work out.
Yep. And then start doing crunches during the interview. Be like, hey, I'm about that life, Kevin. I'm about that life.
Yo, are you willing to wake up at 2 a.m. every day and do a 7-hour workout and then read a script for another 3 hours? All right, man. 2 a.m. We got to work out. Yeah. Okay.
And then I'm going to fuck my boyfriend, have his baby, make a movie, get in a car accident, do a movie while I'm healing from the car accident. Every now and then, I want to be like, Kevin, come on.
Like, I love the hustle, though. I love that shit.
The nigga got in a car accident and was in a movie 2 months later. Like, all right.
Okay, he did an audio book while he, because you know that when he was laying down healing.
Netflix special come out.
His people are like, look, Kevin, we're here for you, but take this microphone real quick. Talk into this. So we need to get that book out.
We realize you're in rehab, but please, man, if you just sign off on this Netflix documentary deal real quick.
Yeah. You, we know you can't walk, but your mouth ain't broken. Can you do this audiobook real quick?
Yeah, so
remember what? Remember Million Dollar Baby, when she broke her neck and they still made her sign that contract with her mouth?
Yeah. They went to Disney World with that bitch's money.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's so crazy, yo.
That was like white trash for real. They took the money and went to Disney World. I was like, God damn. And I had to fill it out. That was so bad. They put a pillow on a pen and made her with her face write it out.
I just watched Kevin. Did you see his documentary on Netflix? I just saw it like last
week. Don't Fuck This Up. Yeah, it was good. I like it.
Yeah, it was good.
I like Kev is one of my favorite comedians. He may not have like legendary status to me, like Dave Chappelle and shit, but he's one of my favorites. He's in my top five because I admire his work ethic. And being from Philly and seeing a person go from Philadelphia to where he's at, it's inspirational. So,
and he really is. Yeah. None of that is made up. He really is a positive person.
Like that he wants you to be your best. It's like, nigga, let me just be me. You gotta be so funny. Let me be me, please.
I was like, and when you see his special, he had one, not the one that just came out, the one beforehand. And one of his, somebody who I know that he, that in common, was like, Jackie, this nigga got fire on the intro.
Oh, yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, look, I don't care how big I get. I don't need fire.
You would never try it. If you can get to a level where you, Kev is at a level where I can't say he can't fail, but whatever he tries is going to be like, you can dismiss it. You can dismiss it and be like, oh, you tried it.
Yeah. That's the blessing. Is that he's like, look, I want to come out on stage on a camel.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, let's try it.
When I get big, I want to have a wrestling intro. Like, maybe not my first special, but like my fifth special, I want to have Paul Heyman bring me out WWE style, like, ladies and gentlemen, bring me out like I'm Brock Lesnar, fucking pyrotechnics going off. I would do that shit.
How come no comedians come out like Beyonce or Pink on the fucking, the thing in the air? No one's done that, have they?
No, these British comics, they don't fuck around. They be doing that shit.
They do?
No, British comics, they be coming from the ground, all that shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know who they are. And I'm like, can they come from the ground? I don't know.
Are you at a status where you come through the ground? Who is you coming through the ground like that?
They be having like fucking 20,000 people in a room just cracking up. And you know shit. Yeah, I'm like, I need to go to England.
What I can't do often, I realized during.
We'll let you go in a minute.
No, it's okay. So my girlfriend just texted me. I can't watch too much stand up during.
Me neither.
I can't. I watched Jerry's thing. Jerry did that. You know how you're in the middle of your set, everything's going great, and you stop, walk back to your stool to get a sip of water.
Yeah.
And the audience claps during the water sip because they're just having a good time.
Yeah.
It made me sad.
Like, I've had that.
I'm like, I remember what that feels like.
Yeah.
I can't watch this shit. I can't one special maybe every couple of weeks, but I can't watch them all because I'm like, I'm not going to be able emotionally to take this.
I hear that.
You got a special out. Let's promote that shit. You got a special out. You posted it on Instagram, the thing you wanted to release. Remember, it was like, hey.
It's on Vimeo. Yeah. It's on Vimeo. I gotta put the link up where y'all can find. I'll put the link on my Instagram.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm hungry for a special. Yeah. I would love to, because when you watch them do it, you're like, it's just performing for an hour. Well, of course. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Well,
well, very well.
Yeah. Well,
well, very well.
You gotta do well.
You gotta do
In order for people to watch, you have to do well.
Yeah.
Very well.
But when you see how many specials are out and you watch it, like, that wasn't well, that was okay.
Yeah.
It makes you realize, well, then shit, I could surpass okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but put that shit out. We all, Derek released his shit. Derek was working on a special. Yeah. I'm working on it. You working on it.
The key is just do it.
Yeah, and just do it.
Sell it or don't sell it, but just do it. Don't wait for Netflix to be like, okay, now we'll let you through the golden gate.
Will you produce your own or will you?
Yes. If I don't, if my reps can't get me the what we all think we might want, I'm just going to save my money and hire. You know, we all know enough people by now to hire a director or hire or ask a club or a venue. Yeah. We all know how.
Yeah.
So in 2020, 2021, probably now.
Okay.
I'm gonna pay, find a venue, and just do it. Pack it out and just do it.
Okay. Dope.
That's all you can do. You can't. If you wait, the waiting is detrimental, I think.
Yeah.
Because you can't. Because we all have the power to do it ourselves.
And material ages. Sometimes it don't age well.
Yes.
So the quicker you get it out, especially if it's an hour, and then people will be like, oh, that's still a relevant hour.
Because you're going through it right now. You know, I can't believe I have a new boyfriend, and we've been together 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, he's still new. You said new, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's still new until you're used to him, until you're like, ah.
Yeah.
That's
not 2 years in. 2 years, y'all, you in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to do it when we're still in the... Am I going to kill him in a sleep stage or am I going to hang in there? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Got you.
You got your album out that you recorded at Fat Black Pussycat, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Me, I did my album at the Comedy and Magic Club. It's out right now.
I thought you did it at Fat Black. My bad.
It was at Comedy and Magic Club in LA. It's, what's it called? Fabulously Naughty. It's out right now everywhere.
Okay. Make sure you go cop that, people.
Fabulously Naughty.
Fabulously Naughty. Go to her Vimeo and make sure you watch her unreleased special. It was a special that she was working on.
Go to JackieFabulous.com. All my shit is there.
Yeah.
Dope.
That's it? We done?
I think so. It's about to be, you got 30 minutes until your shit.
All right. I'm going to go pretend to prepare.
All right. Hey. What a wonderful interview, Jackie. I appreciate you coming by to the lunch table to talk with the cousins.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Roskies, I love you both. We're gonna be back on stage real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll be back on this episode. You'll be back on this podcast soon too.
Okay. Anytime.
I love it.
All right. Absolutely. Bye guys.
All right, y'all. There's been another splendiferous episode of
No Need for Apologies. Make sure that you follow me on Monroe Martin III on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Go to my website, MonroeMartinComedy.com. I got a web series and a bunch of other things
Don't you, bro?
Yes, sir. It's on my website at MonroeMartinComedy.com. Check it out.
I'm doing the intro. I felt good that I was in the intro of the Bad Creations company logo. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's dope. So with that being said, thank you, Monroe. I'll see you soon, Bolt. Stay good, King. I'm Derek Gaines. I'm out.